The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, I'm joined by Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin. We want to talk about demographics and the reality of the demographic time bomb. But before that, let's talk America and the CDC. A woman appointed just 4 weeks ago.
That's right, but a very eminent woman now, but Susan Manares is her name. And she's just been fired, it looks like, after 4 weeks. She herself says she's not going. She's standing up to this firing business and is refusing to resign. But it's a conflict with RFK Jr. because she said, and I paraphrase her, she spoke out against them basically because he's anti lots of the vaccines he's complaining about. She's a big fan of vaccines. And she's obviously causing problems there. And the CDC is the big agency for this. So there's a conflict between her and RFK Jr. We'll see what happens.
I see they've given the okay to some of the new vaccines to take account of mutations to the virus for the autumn, but there are restrictions.
There are, yeah, but they're still available though, Pat, in America. Those RNA vaccines, the FDA are in charge. They say will be available.
Yeah, but you have to pay for them if you don't qualify.
That's the problem. Yeah, now they're restricting their access to them. Older people can still get them. The high risk groups are still available to them.
And their insurers will therefore pay.
Exactly. Yeah, but not for other people. And it is causing upset because some people want to. It's a choice, Pat. You know, some want to use the vaccines to protect themselves or their families, and yet there's trouble getting access to them. So.
Now, you were at an immunologist conference recently.
Where was it? I was in Vienna. It's a tough life. It's the big International Immunology Congress. It's held every 3 years. And I was in Vienna. There were 4,000 immunologists turned up. Great to see them all. Great updates on discoveries. Yeah. And a very eminent thing because half of the Americans didn't turn up. That was the first thing we noticed. Usually America would be very well represented at these sorts of things. And half the numbers that they expected.
And is that
there.
Funding deficits or?
Funding. And the ones who were there, I met several, of course. Their funding's been cut, just slashed, you know, and they're very upset about this, obviously. And then our president of the whole Congress made a great speech, Miriam Mehrad. It was actually a call to arms. She said, we've got to stand up for science, stand up for immunology, stand up against what's happening in America. She said, the resistance begins here, was the phrase she used. And obviously, she was preaching to the converted. But it was a very vivid speech to say, we must do something. That's what's going
that
on.
That America becoming anti-science is just bizarre.
Everybody's flabbergasted. Many of us trained in, and many people trained in America, you know, and got great science from there. And now look what's happened. So there's a real effort to try to help our American scientific friends.
Anyway, it won't matter because the end of the species is nigh.
Is nigh anyway. That's right. On a more positive note, the species is being wiped out. This is fascinating stuff, Pat, because, you know, demographers look at numbers all the time and population growth and what have you. And they're predicting, Pat, for the first time since the Black Death, the population of the Earth will go down. Now, it's going to take about another 30 years. It's trending in that direction. So the population will go down and down and down. Ireland's fascinating, Pat. You know, in 1970, the average Irish woman had between 3 and 4 kids. It was 3.83, but roughly the number. As of 2020, it fell to 1.63 kids per woman. And that's a massive drop, really. Now, what that means is you're not replacing your population.
But you need 2.1.
Strangely, it's 2.1, not 2. That's because of deaths and so on. You need 2.1 to replace the population. So Ireland, now, on the other hand, Ireland is slightly replacing our population. We grew by 19,000 last year. We're teetering on the brink of it.
But we also have immigration.
That takes in, there's the number of births versus deaths. That's the number they look at. The second one that was amazing, Pat, was in the EU last year, the number that more people died than were born. So there was 1.26 million more people dying than were being born, right? And again, that just shows you more deaths than births means the population is going down. So this is the trend that we're all facing now.
Now, the question is, can you avert that? Because it means having to persuade couples to have more babies.
Yep.
And they've tried incentives of various kinds. In fact, the aforementioned Trump is trying some incentives in the... Well, he's promising to try an incentive. Whether or not it'll get passed is another matter.
Well, you've got to hand it to him for this one, Pat, in a way. It's called the Trump account. So a baby born in America now will be given $1,000 into an account invested for them, tax-free, and then when they're 18, I think it is, they get access to it. So that's one incentive to have a baby, you know. So he's trying to change this trend in America, I guess. But it's very hard to stop, Pat, because the two reasons are obvious. It's contraception and education. They're the two main reasons why the birth rates are going down, because contraception is an obvious one. But education is a big one. In countries where you educate women, they have less babies. And that's happening in the developing world. It's great, tremendous to see this.
I mean, you can see the obvious reason. If you are well-educated, you get a job, you're on the promotion ladder, you don't want to step off that to maybe have a family, especially if the social welfare provisions are not adequate to do that well.
Yep. Exactly.
So yeah, they start having babies later and fertility falls.
That's the big one. Yeah. And education anyway, seems women are less interested in having children for some reason. And as we think, it's a good thing. Remember, there was overpopulation going on. So that's not necessarily a bad thing either. But they're the two main reasons. So to stop it then, you almost got to stop contraception and stop education, which is impossible to do and wouldn't be acceptable.
Now, you'd wonder about the countries that are most critically affected. I mean, China, when they had the one baby policy, and of course, older Chinese parents, they were desperately trying to have a boy.
That's right.
Who would look after the family. Yeah. And girls were, if you like, disposable.
That's right, exactly. And China has now peaked, Pat, they reckon. China has now, in terms of its population, will now definitely start to go down. India is still climbing. The third one, Pat's Nigeria, interesting. That's still growing. The women there are having 2, 3, 4 babies each. And they reckon that'll be the third most populous country. But again, the way the trend is, that again will peak in about the next 20, 30 years.
Now, are there countries that are critically short of births?
Well, South Korea is the one to watch, Pat, because again, a bit like Ireland, I suppose, back in 1970, it was 4.5 children per woman. In 2024, it's 0.75, and that's a major negative. And the South Koreans are well aware of this, and they see their population plummeting, you know. Now, what that means is, as you know, there's less people in the economy, less young people are paying their taxes to subsidize the elderly, less productivity in an economy as well. And what the South Koreans, Pat, have mentioned is there's less people to go to the military, which is a strange one, because you haven't got young people. Then in your army.
They're still at war with North.
They are, yeah. And they've highlighted this, the South Koreans. We won't have an army if this continues. And they're trying to introduce all kinds of measures, again, to try to incentivize people to have babies. But it's not working. The population's gone all the way down in the past, 10 years.
Mind you, I was looking at a piece on the news the other night about drone production in Ukraine. And the guy, young guy, tech wizard, who had devised this drone or invented this drone, he was saying that it won't be soldiers against soldiers anymore. It'll be drone against drone.
It'll be mechanized.
And who wins is the country with the best drones.
Yeah, they're talking about resilience, the South Koreans at the moment, on this issue. Can we be resilient against the population falling and things like automation or various things that might allow you to be resilient? The economic bit's more challenging because you have less people in the workforce and they're not quite sure what to do about that one.
There's one fascinating piece of science which you have brought to me. Alice Evans, a sociologist in King's College London, has suggested that online entertainment is outcompeting real-world interactions and eroding social confidence. So people won't date someone, then instead they go on the internet.
You've got it. Yeah, that's the third reason, Pat, they've identified. So remember, contraception, education are two. The third is people having less partners, less out in the real world to meet partners and have babies with them, I suppose, because the online stuff is replacing it. And people are getting kind of, I wouldn't say fully satisfied by it, but they don't need to go out and meet people as much as they did in the past. So therefore, they're at home more, and it's obvious again. But that's been identified by that researcher as a factor, certainly in Europe.
They chat up an AI bot in the evenings.
And they get their kicks that way. But as far as we know, you can't procreate with an AI bot, at least not for the moment anyway.
People cite the cost of having a child as being a big inhibitor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because obviously they've done calculations on this. And in South Korea, how much would it cost you to have a child? And they decide, oh, I'm not doing that. It's too expensive. That's another factor that comes into it. The other one, Pat, that's interesting is pessimism and optimism. So after World War II, as we all know, the baby boomer generation came along. That was partly optimism about the future. The war had ended, the soldiers came home, and they all began having loads of babies. There was a prediction, Pat, that the pandemic might give rise to a bit of optimism. It's been reversed. There's huge pessimism at the moment out there. This is not in every country, but largely speaking. And if people feel pessimistic about the future,
they won't do babies.
Won't have kids. Yeah, and that's another factor in this.
There's another thing, declining sperm count.
Yeah, that's
now,
the other thing.
What's causing that?
Well, again, that's factor number five, I suppose, in this. I mean, it's not the one that's contributing. There's no doubt the sperm count's falling. It's halved in the past, 40 or 50 years. If that continues, men are even less fertile than they were, and that might be another reason for this trend, this downward trend.
And what are they saying is causing it? I mean, they blame fast food for everything.
Yeah.
I mean, the environment?
It must be. It has to be environmental, because it's too quick to be genetic, you see. So it has to be something in the environment. Pollutants, the usual things are being looked at. That's the area of study, Pat, actually. There's people looking at that closely. It could be stress. It could be obesity. All these factors play into the sperm count. That might be a reason.
There's something else, a sociological trend, I suppose. The urbanization. People move to the cities, have less babies in the cities than they would in the countryside.
Yep, they've identified that. People in the country are inclined to have more babies is one thing. Another one, Pat, that got me was about violence. This is a strange one. Women in more violent relationships are inclined to have more babies, somewhat paradoxically. It's not quite clear why this is.
Now, there is a trend away from that violence that's still going on, of course, and it's horrendous. But still, there's a trend away from violence, and that's another reason to have a woman to have less babies. So again, they're looking at all these different factors combined, and it's giving rise to these statistics.
Now, by your calculation, when will we be wiped out?
Yeah, they're predicting between the year 20, well, not wiped out, between 2030 and 2060, the global population will start to fall. And it'll fall year on year on year, and then gradually then it won't peter out quite, and it's hard to predict. It might bounce back again.
But there was a time when we didn't think we could feed the world.
Well, that's what the baby boomer generation were worrying. In the 60s, the biggest fear was overpopulation, and that didn't sort of affect us because agriculture got better and sustained us. There's 8 billion people on Earth at the moment, you know. But by the time we get to 2030, that'll begin to decline, is the prediction.
Mm. Finally, I suppose I should ask you about the stories in the papers today about your pal, Professor Dame Louise Richardson.
Yes, interesting, Pat, isn't it?
Interesting. Yeah.
Another hat in the ring.
I mean, she was one of the heroes of COVID.
She was. Well, and a fantastic academic. I mean, she was head of Oxford University. An Irish woman was head of Oxford University. Isn't that tremendous?
We mentioned her many times on this program.
Not a better one, actually. Very impressive person altogether. And wouldn't it be wonderful if another academic, kind of, after Michael Dee in the Oris? You never know. So she may well start. Has she studied? I think she's, it's a rumour, is it? She hasn't quite confirmed it, has she yet?
No, I mean, if she got there, I don't know what she'd do in the Auras by way of recreation. Jim Gavin would have charity football.
That's
games.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You'd
yes.
have the metabolics.
I would.
There,
and build a lab as well.
Lab. Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.